an overview of your report. But you also at the same time answer the question they put to you. Because see, your report is that I'm not going to say I haven't read it from the beginning of the day. It's impossible to read it. So in the way in the world, NPC is not worth the word. Reports. So we'll be having a very nice conversation. Done by the researchers and sometimes the CEOs, which most people are all about having. So, we don't want them to respond, at least we've got a good summary of this. So, for you to cover that in great detail is unnecessary, except when you're referring your case, since you are there, to policy issues. As you feel with the other committee. Thank you very much.
Over to you, Bridget.
I do. President.
And then you'll see the mic along with all of you.
Nico, I took you around. My God, okay, let's go on.
Thank you very much.
You can't just see your eyes at that. I'm thinking
of a
very...
No.
We can't on the country.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I'm Chef Rasan, colleague from the SFB and CEO. I look up briefly some of the analysis analysis and just highlight some of the things that some of the issues that have been extracted that the FFP should have briefed the committee about. So although there's a lot of things that have been reported in the annual report, including some of the achievements of the commission, the emphasis will mostly be on things that should be clarified to the committee when the FFP makes recommendations. And some of the issues include in terms of performance side, the FFP, when we look at the targets, in terms of overall targets that have been achieved, the 75% of targets that were achieved completely, and not taking into consideration the percentage targets and the not achieved targets, and there were some targets that were not measurable. And these are specifically in the corporate services and finance division. The first issue that needs to be clarified relates to achievement of performance targets. And these were highlighted. The auditor general did not raise any issues regarding the usefulness, reliability, and relevance of information, but he did in an annual report draw attention to achievement of targets as an additional matter. So that is something that needs to be clarified regarding why the FFP did not achieve all of its targets. Some of the reasons are given in the annual report, for example, the target of regarding employment equity, gender, specifically gender equity. And the key causes in attracting female employees. Within 75 targets, 25% target achievement and 98.8% expenditure is a little bit concerning that some divisions, for example, finance has different and they actually overspent while only reaching 45% of their target. So there's something within the finance division that the SFP could clarify to the committee what the issues are within the finance division as well as corporate services. The position of the commission has been taken position is an acting position, and that is also an issue because one of the issues that is raised in the AGIS report is also with regards to internal control, and that is linked specifically to the issue of leadership. And in that regard, the AG raised a concern that the accounting officer didn't ensure that oversight monitoring mechanisms were in place, the controls are not functioning as intended. So controls are not functioning well, and this issue raised by the AG refers to the issue of management oversight as well. And we have the issue of the chairperson of the commission vacancy being an acting vacancy for so long could also have something to do with it. The commission should probably indicate to the committee what the plans are to ensure that it meets its expectations, because there is a gender equity issue and there are vacant positions. And how or what is the implementation strategy of the commission, and how are they going to ensure that through these vacant positions they reach some of the gaps in terms of equity targets? Another issue that the commission should probably very importantly explain to the committee is the regular expenditure, most of which is for prior years, actually, which isn't being controlled by children. There is an investigation going on, and NACES, because the investigation started quite a while ago, NACES is now the committee, how far that investigation is and what are the issues in that regard. So the regular expenditure, the total amount is 1.39 either. And it's for goods and services that are procured without inviting competitive. And so far, even the amount of clients isn't being condoned by Treasury, so there is a need to clarify that. There are no financial statements submitted by the Commission also. The AG reported that we're not accorded with prescribed financial reporting framework as outlined in the PFMA. And that insufficient reviews were performed to ensure that the financial statements were prepared in accordance with prescribed reporting framework. So that is something that needs to be clarified as well. And just to say that the commission in all these issues has clarified for the committee that when the committee feels that there is cost, then the committee has a go ahead as to what next steps would be taken by the SFC to ensure that these issues are addressed. I think that that those are the main issues that came out of the report that need to be clarified. There are other issues, for example, the budget for employee costs, what exceeded, and just note that some items have overspent. When there are areas of over-expenditure, then the commission could explain whether the issues of over-expenditure and the strategy that will be used to contain spending in certain items, including employee costs. And also, just in terms of performance information, the issue of value for money. I think that in all the meetings, including our meetings with the FFP, that the issue of value for money comes out quite a lot. It's one of the main concerns of National Treasury and the Finance Committee. What led to the Commission not meeting its targets and how that be managed to go before us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So what is that your question? And this one? Okay, good. No, it just speaks to me about the division of labor between CDO and the research team. And we're going to get a contract required. And it's going to be a nightmare to work out with the alliance and responsibility to the CDO. Not to mention the two things that speak to me. Saving my life and time. You think the problems in the
business?
Oh man, these people, they just have a meeting to bring us together. And they discover it's not an issue after all. Nevertheless, oh, by the way, I should mention the day is much better. There's a management case meeting. I will not permit this.
I will not want to have a case because it's not all the time. But with you have to be there and one day. I don't know what we talk about, because we talk on the phone all the time, so what do we do then? We say, okay, I told you before, I called Alan at 11 o'clock last night, I'll just do this, anybody just to meet. I talked to Alan at 8:35 yesterday, and this is what he's saying to me. But we have to manage them to see across business policy. They're not interested in outcomes and outputs, they're only interested in, do you have a management to
okay, so if you, MFP, but you choose your team, I think I know everybody, all of you, but maybe I'm confident. Thank you.
I think so. We just divided the team amongst ourselves, certainly, and CDO, and most of the issues that I'm there. But we work together, you know, I just know.
Why are you saying my own details? You think you will play on the line with us? You probably are walking with us. We can't be done with you.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you, Jefferson. And also thank you to the board members and the colleagues from the research and the PO. Let me start off by introducing the sooner I have. Three members of the commission from the next to project commissioner before the visit. Next to him is Commissioner Krishkumar. Next to me is Commissioner Commissioner Professor Nico Dyson. And myself, Pohan Kumar, the deputy chair of the National Institute of Commission. On my left is the Ansia Dora. So a new commission secretary. And next to her is Mr. Mabuso Bowano, who is the chief financial officer of the commission. I must put in apologies for the other commissioners that could not make it today. Commissioner Dr. Smolile Mutwa, Commissioner Professor Lilingwe Mahende, Commissioner and Commissioner Professor Daniel Blackett, and I'm told that he was going to try and get out of the meeting that he did in my section training every day, but and yet he didn't need to report.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be reasonable to bring every commission here for a year.
Yeah,
so they are fine.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask that from you, because I'm in past administration. I actually brought one commissioner in my team and I was told to go back and bring back on the commission. So I'm that actually happened to me, so
down the road, so you've got to be able to do it.
now there's no such rule that I know of, and unless you dispute from me otherwise, this is the norm in the fifth parliament. Mr. Blackie, you don't mind telling me what I was. You don't understand me, my friend. Okay.
You're summoning a person to say something to us.
Okay,
over
to you.
All our bags, all bags are disrespectful. All our bags, all our jockey land, the opposite is not here.
You're shining yourself for me. Yes, shining yourself for me is not here. So all these, you're so grown, look at our face, please don't end up. They're shining yourself for me. That's not here. Okay. The thing is, come on, all the jobulars and all the ads, if you belong to a particular tradition, you know, understand it well, then you can hear it off to the reality. No, because I don't want the new thing to appear. Where's the first name? Linda. What is the subject? Right. It's not about. It's about achieving your own mind by magnitude and clarity of the economic energy. The way to deal with the love for that reason, that the post office is very interesting. Needless to say, that I am not in the mood to cheer the meeting, but you know, you have to do it.
Not that you're not important to be human, I'm doing it, but I'm going to be for the other.
So, what's wrong with sometimes? Didn't you cheer millions of people? Just get up one morning. How do you get fired from there? We take you very, very seriously. You know the sort of stand-up chick. But the more serious point, which I should mention, is that
no, the client is really to say that this particular policy, this committee, conceptually feels that there is no need to bring the entire arm of commission here. That, you know, a small representative group. You can stretch it, you know, I mean, it's two of you, next week, another two of you. And I know all of you are in different ways. I know almost all of you here. You're very busy people. And we need your skills and expertise and experience out there. You know, so, in order to the chair and one of one. Thank you very much. Okay, I promise now, the looks are going to control me. I will not disappear. Thank you.
I don't believe in my truth.
So thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for clarifying the position of the committee in this administration around the numbers that we have to bring. It's always been quite a challenge for me to actually collect people because I'm one of the ones that say. Thank you very much.
I'm thanking you.
Because
why are you changing the mood?
I'm not sure, Chairperson, because I think that's a very formal presentation. I can actually do the presentation and then after that we can then respond to some of the issues that were raised by the colleagues. That's from the beginning. I think the first slide basically talks about the commission's mandate, and we can skip that. And then that slide just links to pieces of information that the commission, that guide the commission as well. And then here we just begin to look at some of what we consider to have been the achievements in terms of work that we set out to do. And we have legislative obligations that we have to meet on an annual basis in terms of the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act. We need to table annually 10 months before the minister tables the budget sets of recommendations for that year's division of revenue that we have met. We have to respond to the medium-term budget policy statements in terms of the my build amendment procedure and related messages like that. We have to respond to the division of revenue greenway tables. That's what it is. We have to respond to the fiscal framework and revenue proposals. We also have to respond to the all of that was actually done. We, the Commission approves its own research cycle with a project portfolio that's in, with its own research portfolio that the Commission approves, and that basically drives the resources that are allocated to the Commission, obviously with the provision for the support structure which the Commission has decided. Now, that project structure, all the research projects are done on time, and they form part of the position that was able to be made our title and the annual financial year that we're working in is an overlay. And that will probably explain why on some of the areas we basically say we did not achieve this. We say we did not achieve it because at the time of the audit, the time that we closed the books of the financial year, and then the audit has come in, and the time we reached the commission's website to end is an overlay. So we can't lie and say we had everything when we actually had it submitted, for example, when we submitted several submissions and some of these copies. So we've got those issues that we need to also maybe deal with, because they're really a matter of the budget process itself. And when the legislation says we should, or by when the legislation says we should check our submission. So we have a challenge of balancing those things, and that's why you see that some of them are called partial men. We also set out to assist in capacity building for residential in response to obviously the demands for some of the communities, from some of the communities, and also in response to informed by a perception survey which we did in 2012. Basically indicated that the Commission needs to get out more of an interaction with its key stakeholders, and these are some of the things that the Commission can do in terms of its mandate. So we basically started that process, and we managed to do two provinces in the last year, Eastern Cape and South Cape. We also managed to do two councils, one in Pumalanga and one in Northern Cape. And more importantly, we finalized our way from the local government system. We finalized our way for the local government system framework review, and also finalized two other pieces of work that were informed by the Office of Public Hearings, the report on housing finance model for South Africa, and also on child welfare services. All of those reports were tabled by the end of last year. We actually tabled all of those reports, and we are very excited that some of the recommendations that came out of that were informing quite a lot, significant amount of work that is currently taking place in some of them. I think we have done very much to move on from this. Now, this following tables, I don't think that I want to talk to the major. Basically, the details of the terms that have been related, so we can actually move on to the next set of issues. Okay, coming to the issue of challenges, and hopefully I'll be able to also answer all of the questions that have been posed by the colleagues from the research and development colleagues. The issue of the vacant position of chairperson has been a matter for the Commission, and indeed it does impact on the operations thereof, because under normal circumstances you would have the chairperson and the deputy chairperson, and they split the work. So the one was focusing on corporate issues, and the other one was focusing on the key mandate of the Commission, which is really about the research work and the communication of that work and related issues that's related to core mandates. So the government issues and the core business of the Commission were separate. Now, unfortunately, the situation that we found ourselves in is that since September 2010, the Deputy Chairperson has been the acting chairperson, and also the acting CEO. And we tried within the Commission to deal with this matter, and we have we tried to provide to the Minister of Finance to get some transitional arrangements. Because at some point we had one of the former commissioners who had actually some time to dedicate to the work of the commission. But unfortunately, we failed to actually win that debate, because the then minister had indicated to myself that he was actually working on something and he was going to have this discussion with me. But unfortunately, nothing actually of which moved us forward. They actually asked that we made out of those processes, and up to today I am still involved in conversations with the new minister and deputy minister on this particular matter. So it has been for me quite it's been quite a heavy loss that one has been carrying. So one has to then rely on the management in the commission to actually assist on quite a number of the issues. So you do a set of delegations here and there, and sometimes things certainly will fall by the curve, especially when the pressure on management to deliver on certain types of issues where they feel that the commission is waiting to have beyond them, so some decisions can be made that are rushed. But I think we have managed to strengthen the controls internally when we pick up the issue on the irregular agenda in particular. I think the CFO will speak about that and provide some details about how that actually okay. But the real issues are like a technical requirement. When you have to take a decision on exemptions or deviations, there is a process that we have to go through. Now, if you miss, then on part of the commission, technically the one that's one of those steps that was missed, one is second. Deviation must happen when something is emergent in nature. When you want to describe the emergency, sometimes that's a correction and emergency elsewhere. And so those are issues that we will just try and take when the information presentation about the information, which I am glad to say though that we investigated and we have completed that investigation. We took the necessary steps against the individual. Part of the process involved identifying whether there was somebody or anybody that actually benefited from that procurement process, and we did not find any evidence of that. The second aspect was around whether we could actually identify the value generated by the provider's work, and we definitely realized quite a significant amount of value, and so there was no reason to actually suspect that there was any deliberate attempt at collapse or undue practices that would have caused damage to the commission resources. I think we were satisfied with that, and the report was tabled with the commission, and the commission accepted it, and so we are basically now on a rather process to actually monitor that our supply chain management issues. Not generally, it's not done with qualified people. And part of the reason why there's an issue around our financial size and that the CFO will talk about is that we just do not have the money to hire the right people for those types of positions. And in the past, the decision was based on the fact that these are positions, this is like a support secondary to the commission's core mandate. And we think that because of the need to comply, we can't actually operate as it was still back in 1994 when the commission first started. So that philosophy, we have to change it. And unfortunately, in times of budget constraints, you only get that kind of control. So, skills shortage is quite an issue for the commission. Another area is the recruitment and gender balance. I think you can see that the commissioner compared to when we had one female member. So it was actually a better. But from where we meet as a commission, because we are not responsible for those appointments, we can't actually do anything much about it except to raise it. And we had raised it, from my side, I raised it, you know, to be good to also find a place in terms of the gender profile of the commissioner. So that even as we try to push it within the secretariat itself, we can see that it's reflecting across the board to the Financial Inclusion Commission. So we have a challenge there. We have to recruit a female candidate. We lose them within a space of 2 to 3 years because we can't actually compete properly in this market. But we are trying to face that. We have a situation which is actually quite a big challenge related to our infrastructure in movable assets, some of which have not been replaced since the commission was established. And part of the reason why there are issues with the financial statements or misstatements of financial is related to those assets that are old and how they were accounted for. Because from where we think venture that's what inherited from the National Treasury, we don't even know what the value of the National Treasury paid for that. But we inherited that venture. We still keep it and we still use it because we don't have money to buy the venture. So we have those chances. Our ICT infrastructure is quite outdated. We try every year to make a few provision for relatively latest type of software. So we can't actually take advantage of some of the systems that are available that might assist us in dealing with the corresponding containment measures. That's, for example, teleconferencing, we don't have any of those types of facilities to be able to do that, even though we're commissioners sitting all over the country, so we're not specially concerned that we get some of the freedom to make sure. So we have those challenges, that, but we still manage to continue and travel to our way. Now, in terms of the Financial and Fiscal Commission, our annual report must actually contain a set of recommendations that we made and government's response to that. We have actually put in Parliament on these recommendations because they relate to this particular year. So they were tabled in 2013 May for the 2014 budget. Now, what I want to raise, Chairperson, here is also another measure that I think this committee must actually engage in. In terms of how we package our reports to Parliament, we try to put everything in one submission. So the submission will actually be a recommendation that we make to relative issues that include the provision of revenue process, but also it will have recommendations that contain or that speak to any other future and fiscal matters that the Commission can make recommendations on in terms of the Financial Fiscal Commission Act. So we tackle those recommendations all in one form, in one submission in May. Now, 2 years ago, the Minister of Finance wrote to myself and raised the issue of the increasing complexity from his side of responding to the recommendations of the Financial Fiscal Commission, because some of them don't speak to the requirements of the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act, which is what, in terms of his process, he would actually be interested in responding to, those that deal directly with the Division of Revenue or indirectly. So because this matter was raised by the Minister so close to the finalization of the budget at that point, because I think it must have been January, end of January, early February, the last budget coming meeting, which finalized it. Because of just an intergovernmental point of view. We then, as a commission, wrote back to the Minister and indicated why we actually make our recommendations or make our submissions or in that particular manner. But we then indicated as well that if the recommendations of the Commission are made primarily in terms of what the Constitution says to Parliament and the provincial legislature. Now, it means that there has to be a conversation between Parliament and the Minister on how to respond to those recommendations, and also between Parliament, Minister and the Commission. Now, unfortunately, even though the Minister indicated that we should have that discussion between, first of all, between him and the Commission, and then ultimately he would then be, he would then take it further to engage Parliament on how to deal with some of the recommendations, but some of them apply to portfolio online function departments, even though they are of the financial institution, and they fall within the ambit of the Commission's mandate. Now, how to deal with those recommendations was an issue that is outstanding from the previous administration. So we never got to have that meeting with the Minister of Finance, then Minister of Finance, but I have actually brought it again to the attention of the current Minister of Finance, and we are having that conversation, and I am hoping that we will also have a conversation with yourself, the chairperson of the Committee on Finance, and also with the other chairperson in the finance.
So it's an issue for that.
If you were able to go to the annual submission, you would find that the number of recommendations versus the ones that are responded for are in an imbalance. In terms of the response, the minister basically indicates that there will be a process to deal with the other recommendations that are neither directly nor indirectly related in terms of the classification. Now that classification process will be basically delegated to the Secretary of the Commission and the officials of the National Treasury that will actually deal with those particular issues. And I must say that from the feedback that I get from those processes, they are actually quite robust processes, and they are transparent, and they actually work. But the problem that still remains is that there are those recommendations that must be addressed. And when we deal with portfolio committees and we alert them to those recommendations, some of which have not been responded to, there's quite an interest in pursuing discussions around those recommendations that have been made by the Commission. And I think it would be important for yourself and the committee to also provide guidance to us in terms of how we can actually go or work around those kind of challenges that are facing. But I think in terms of our submission, the summary that we presented here basically does indicate what we tabled and what government response was, and I'm to say that most of the recommendations that we tabled were actually addressed. And as I said in the beginning, some of them are actually currently subject of technical work that happening within government itself, and our staff are also involved in the processes of moving those recommendations towards a more practically implementable type of solutions for government. So we are quite pleased with those types of matters. I think from here, Chairperson, I will hand over to the CFO, to them and take you through the financial or what we call the audit outcomes.
Thank you, and I would say another member giving this opportunity. I think it would be important just to give an overview of the budget cost as already stated also in your thesis for 2013-14 financial year. I think the main issue that is on the audit cost that is the financial general, because it relates to the 2013-14 financial year, it relates to the previous financial year, which is 12-13 financial year, which was an absolute issue that National Treasury took longer to resolve it. But unfortunately, it was resolved after the audit of 2013-14 financial year, which now is still an issue that we need to be finalized in this financial year. That's why we are seeing it sitting in our books. I think as our chairperson has related, the issue there was around the procurement service for goods and services, that we follow all the procurement, but the situation that we are supposed to have informed the shelter that in case of any emergencies of that, that's not the issue, that's for example, it has been around this problematic issue. But in terms of both the attention by the auditor general, they didn't raise in the 12 taking by the Sharia, they were waiting for the new counselor. The new counselor gave that support. They had to ask in June picture, which was already there, and then they operate in this financial year. As the Charter Union said, there were corrective measures that were put in place to ensure that this issue is not occurring again, and which was very critical in terms of making sure that we put more controls. And the issue there is also in terms of the shortage of skills that I have within the Commission around the finance, because we also have to ensure that we use some of the laws that we ensure that we see the procurement issue, but due to the demand, the nature of the compliance issue now, we are trying to restructure the Commission also, and so within the budget that has been allocated by the National Service, that we try to close all those deficiencies that are there within the Commission, especially around the procurement issue. When you look at the revenue, the grants that you receive from the National Center, the total national grants that you receive is sitting at 59.5 billion at the end of 2014 financial year. Out of those, the other donor funding that you normally receive does not help. We partner with certain institutions to ensure some of the research projects are being taken up, and we normally ask for donor funding because the kind of allocation that we receive is not enough to fill the books. And then the other money is the interest that they receive from the bank account. We also ensure that the way we plan our cash flow, we also utilize that money back to our system, that the amount that is 667,000, at least which relates to our total revenue, is at 40.3 million. And then when it comes to details of the personnel costs, the Commission currently has got four divisions, which is we call the Commission Special Staff, which involves all the commissioners and also the activities that are taking in that unit. And then we've got the corporate services, which are all the facilities, so HR and IT, that corporate services. And then we've got the finance office, which has aligned the financial management and all other issues that relate to the finances. And then we've got the research and accommodation program, which is the key driver of the Commission. That's why you see in terms of its personnel, the most of the people that are employed by the Commission are in that unit, because most of the work that is the core business of the Commission. You see 50% of that actual goes to the research and accommodation. The next slide just talks to our financial performance, which is statement of financial statement for the team. That goes to details of our income statement and balances with the Commission. You see that the banking taken in as well, our revenue increased from the previous financial year to the current financial year by 8%. One of the things of that increase, we're preparing for the 20th anniversary conference that was taking place in this financial year. The preparation started to come last year. That is why you also pick it up. I think your search has picked up on the balance sheet that the accounts receivable was higher compared to the previous year. One of the reasons was there are some deposits that we had to make in terms of the ensure with the show of venues and other preparation that we have to do some prepayments around there. And then on the staff cost, when you look at the actual staff cost increase, it's just 2% in terms of the mere staff administration cost that were there when you look when do the comparison between the previous year. And then the depreciation, as the action chair has said, that we've got absolute assets that we can't listen that too old. It's one of the challenges that I'm having. And then another item that has increased is the professional fees. The professional fees, you see, that is also affect the budget of the finance, because one of the challenges that we've been having, if you look at all the fees that were paid at the Commission, being small as well, it's quite high. Currently, we're paying over $1 million to the general. And those are obligatory issues. But when you compare to other institutions, the comparison is not the same. But it's one of the things that we've taken up with the National Center to address these complicated issues that we have. and the challenge that you normally see the budget of the finance is normally picked up by those complicated issues. And then on the operational expenses, there has been an increase of 30% compared to the previous year. One of the reasons, as the administration has said earlier on, that there has been a growth in stakeholder management in terms of the annual request that the commission has to attend. Obviously, that has to have some effects in terms of the operational cost of the commission. You see, when you look at our balance sheet, the asset base has gone down by 50%. One of the reasons we have been highlighted in the last report, after the tax, there were no non-acquisition of assets in the previous year because of the budget constraints. One of the assets that has been there since the inception of the commission 20 years ago. And it's one of the challenges that have come from the auditor's report in terms of the issues on the balance sheet, the issue of assets. One of the things that we have done also this year very well, commission, if you look in the previous annual reports, we've been having challenges of accumulated deficit within the commission. And that has gone down drastically in terms of the amount that we have reduced accumulated deficit liability by 20%. Then you see on the balances. And then if you go to the details of that in terms of what is going on in terms of the professional fees, in terms of the legal fees, for 2013-14 financial year, we didn't have any issues there under the legal fees. So I think one of the things that I mentioned is that the external fees that was being currently at 1 million, and then also it was risk management fees. That is part of the obligation that we have to do risk and fraud management workshop that we now want to do, and that is sitting in 2000. And also, we got an internal cost fees. Those are obligatory things that we have to attend to. The cost fees are trying to reduce compared to last year. You see, there's a reduction that is there, but that's the standard that they charge in terms of the fees. And then the other brand goes to the commission. Pushing research, some of the research that we ask of the commission, and then they work with the technical team within the commission. And then on the operating expenses, which cover the details of what are the operations, we have highlighted the key issues there in terms of traveling. We try as commission to apply the cost containment measures. The traveling gets reduced compared to the previous year. One of the reasons is that some of the reduction in terms of the number of technical people that normally in the air conditioner. And also we got agreements with various hotels and accommodations to ensure that we will lock our costs around so that we do some reduction. And then also other operating costs, and then on the IT cost, as the has said that we keep on and as well as for all IT systems that we have to make sure that we deal with those challenges that are there. And also we have to make sure that the necessary software that the research unit needs in terms of the research, those are some of the things that we see those costs. And then on the publication, there's some of the technical reports that we publish and then we have to distribute all our stakeholders, the annual submission document and also the technical report which goes into details of what on the annual submission. And then there are other communication costs which cover all our telephones, all the kind of communication and the that we are using. And then also the workshops and seminars. For the research papers, they normally have workshops and seminars. But one of the things that we have done, we also try to partner with our sister stakeholders in terms of ensuring that there's a cost saving that we are applying around there. And most of the workshops, some of them, were held in-house. And then it's one of the areas that we are applying some cost reduction.
I think to conclude,
confusing the soil to highlight, and that needs to be the attention either from our side or the also from the other side. The first one basically relates to the market position and of chairperson, and also the confession of the position of chairperson and the chief executive officer and accounting officer of the commission. It is really a challenge, with, especially in an environment that we have been operating over the past 4 years. Just to indicate that for this 2014-15 financial year, which is friendship and settle in conflict. That's something that we need to keep at the back of our mind when we go to the next college. Thank you very much, Mr. Jefferson. I'm just going to check in the police information
It was sent to Cindy, and I think she did indicate that she could send it out to Shalali and Chief Emma. Yes, she did.
Yeah, I didn't see facilities and expedition street presentation. She didn't look for about 10 days ago. We sent it to the relevant entities. Just here again. So when they reply, it's not an abstract, boring overview of your report, which is supposed to have said anything. It's also a response concerns that the researcher has his own, so anyway, it doesn't matter. But you want to respond.
Yeah.
We'll be good about it. Thank you.
Yeah, Nico?
Jim, this is one issue that's come to the question of the acting chairperson and also the cross between the CEO and chairperson. Obviously, Nicolano is in a legal position in the holder to fund the country. So it's just here for us as commissioners. The unidentical position of the community. And it would seem that there seems to be very little argument by a permanent position appointment of the officer. It's not as though they intend to be a major obstruction in terms of the commission. They will be a chairperson. So the argument is that we need to restructure the first before such a decision make I don't think hold in water. If I look at the latest draft amendment, it's simply the firm to the current position. So that's the one. The only real difference is that the separation of the CEO and chairperson is to be effective. That clearly, when you work in the board, it's not a theoretical concept that there should be a declaration. It's not off the Professor Oswald's report in 2009. It's a thing that stares you in the face in real situations where you want the chairperson to be part of the board leadership in the meeting of the chairperson. So again, what does the switch do to the nation and to push the matter further?
All right. Do you want to respond to any of the outstanding issues that you've been raising?
Yes. Let me, I will take it that, because I insist this morning, I would take it that the issues that require consideration from our side are the issues that are highlighted in the plan. Yeah, let's try and respond to this.
Can we ask the chief so that when questions are responded to, then over the basically, what Bridget raises is for us to consider a member so that we apply our mind when we ask questions. But if those questions are answered before we even ask questions, or before you're giving the letting us answer, then what is then it's not now doing our work, you don't have to ask. So can you take all questions and meeting questions? I don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, that's fine. This is the way we did it last week, and that's fine. I already oversee the report, you'll give us a report 10 days ago. I don't see why we work on three special changes this week, but I'm on the phone. If that's what the majority wants, it's fine. The point is, however, that there's a technical quality to update here, as members of general logic. And it has never stopped members last week from raising questions. We have up to 1 o'clock, 10 past 11. What we could do is maybe add to the spot of specific issues that members can come in and don't stop people from training. So, yeah,
that are listening here are some of the things that a lot of them are articulated in a book. So a lot of them already has already responded to. So I think that maybe because it's responded to a lot of things, it will be maybe follow up after members ask questions and then responded to that we did last week.
So what we can do is never compromise these things, of course. We want to spend endless discussion about sharing.
I know,
I'm through. I'm doing the compromise, which will allow me to talk sessions, and I'll manage the meeting as a chair. But I can't be subscribed to it. Nitty gritty detail and all the chair meetings. Then you don't need a chair person. So having said that, fine. What do you want to say?
No, I want to just say thank you. That's what I
mean. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that last meeting worked fine.
Are we on the meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me welcome the report by the SSC. I think one of the things that I think is very interesting now for me to see there is what I've seen around the issue of the vision, the mandate, the vision, and the mission of the FSC, because both of them are critical. They are responsible for the first year around issues of DORA and other major financial issues. Now, if you listen to what the AD is saying and how the FSC is responding, I'm getting worried for a number of things. One is around the issue of election and how the CFO is responding. The AG did not pick up at some point, and later it happened, and then there was no response from National Treasury, and then from there, when Treasury responded, then they did not control. I think as a CFO, issues of delaying that exchange are something, are issues that was worried as a CFO. And I think whether AG did not pick up, whether National Treasury did not respond on time, the fact that it's a regular is something that has to be avoided. And the fact that the acting chair also says, SEM is not armed with people with adequate skills. It's something that all of us have to realize. Because there's an element of recurrence of some of them. So it's important for us to take issues of the AG very seriously. Especially because your institution, I mean, Treasury and Treasury for me, are very critical institutions, and they are agreed by them. And these are institutions, I mean, to come here and say we don't have people with adequate skills and all those things because of the virus. There are other areas where you can even circumvent some of those things and say to Treasury, take on this position on your, and these people will be on your salary, on the national Treasury budget by doing that in your institution because of the sanitary situation that you can do. But the other issue that also comes in is that if there are obligatory issues like your audit or whatever, these are some of the things that you study when you study budget to say, here we have compromises in the budget. And after we put this aside, salaries and other things and other bases will then amount to this. How do you go about? So, because once you start to come to the standing committee and say, audit fees are very high, the AG is charging us very high audit fees as compared to other institutions. I see you putting your hands in the air rather than developing a systematic approach to resolving some of the things that are non-negotiable. Because we have to think with treasury and then say, these are the challenges and how to go. I like the notion of saying, there are areas where we are able to share costs with that institution. You can actually do the same with your obsolete IT systems and other things with CISA. You go to CISA in and you say to CISA, look, we're also a government institution and this is the challenges we're going through. Can you do a scientific assessment of all this things so that me and you, CISA, me being FFC, you being a well-positioned person around the IT system, that we all both go to national treasury and make a change around some of those things. So in the same way that we are able to deal with some of the challenges, look at some of the, because for as long as you don't resolve the issues of your obsolete habits, it will come again and again and again on your body report. And that then says, how do you deal with the issues of the auditor general in the management sector? Because as a standing committee, from time to time, we want you to present your management plan that says, this is how we are correcting issues that the AG dealt with in the previous financial year for this report. And systematically, this is how we are going to avoid. Because sometimes we don't have something like things that have been from 1994 until now, and that's why we are obsolete and so on and so on. So your management plan also assists you to deal with some of the things so that there's no leverage. It's not that I'm teaching you, but you know it's there. You are the so your disposal of others and your disposal of policy becomes very critical and something that we are able to present you with. I think one of the things that also draws interest on me is how you have structured the achievements and recommendations that you also give into government institutions. Those are the things. And let me just look at, and you know, I'm coming for the first time in the standing committee. Okay, I may not be knowing some of this economic information. Let me go to the achievement on page 5. Enter the time. Next. Of this thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Because they're not knowing. The second. Give us the slide. I don't know. What's your question? So, if you look at the second slide, then, it says, stakeholder parliament, action brief, subject, progress in the attainment of the Millennium Development Goals. Government arrangement of capital infrastructure, the renting of housing, the strategic network of the government. The question I will ask, because I will also want to follow up on all the things as a member of the standing committee. We named the MDG under achievement, and then a second question I will ask, so that I'm able to understand some of the achievements. I know, and I may not be accurate. The budget system is part of the MDG. The housing poverty. The MDG is up to 2014 or something beyond that. There are those around 2014, 20, whatever. So if we want to follow up with government on some of the things that we classify as achievements, how are we going forward? Make sure that we follow up on some of the things that were not achieved in the Millennium Development Goals. So I'm just saying, I want to understand and track some of the things so that tomorrow, even as a member of the standing committee, the next financial year when we meet, we follow up on some of the things after the annual financial statement and the audit report has been. I mean, that one is the which I want some of this thing. Thing of
applied to a link when we talk about the tasking on the development of municipal accreditation and the appointments and conditions of service of senior managers in the company. Small question I would ask, what did government say about, or where is that notion of senior public service? Was it senior public service or something around that? And so on and so on. So, have to learn this thing. I'm not describing, but I must also be able to juxtapose what you're saying with what government has committed itself to, so that there's proper checking and follow up on some of the things. The last thing goes to the tribe that talks on recommendations. And remember, I'm seeing this thing for the first time, and I want to be in the same page with you so that going forward the first slide there that talks about funding further education and training courses, which has been a problem every year all over the country, are a problem, and how the response of government has been consultation with SLC when applying for conditional grants. I like that response of government. This is not mandatory, but the assistance is welcome. The four questions I will ask. Is it happening? And it happens because they're saying it's not mandatory. And if there's no consultation done with you, what then happens? Because we know conditional grants are very critical for promises for any department to get back. What then happens if that consultation is done? Because we know there's a lot of grant funding that also goes there too.
I don't know how you put talent, right? I actually envy
for being able to do that, both tasks at the same time. And yet, you are expected to perform miraculously, and you find yourself in front of members of parliament who are going to ask you very intense questions, especially now that for the research capacity that tells us quite an issue that you must pay attention to. So, that's the first point. But the second one is that, we are interested to know much less the regular expenditure that occurred in the previous financial year, not 2013, 2014 financial year. We'll be interested to even know the remedies that you put in place to the government. And what I always say when entities approach us is to say, the limitations, you see them beforehand, including the remedies that you want to implement, because the age normally actually through the management that has made clear decisions on how we can go about resolving these issues. So that when it comes to a financial year, we apply our minds on those issues that have been raised and see that the consistency in terms of resolving those challenges and they don't become a recurring problem for history. And the other challenge, you have always raised in scope of when I came up with scope of many years ago, is that the reporting timelines of some institutions are not consistent with how the financial year has been put. If for instance, you do your internal audit after the auditor general has presented your financial statement, and then it's wrong. And it's up to this organization that they change that decision. It's not up to you, it's prescribed by law for you on how you should respond. So it's up to us as surgeons to bring that in so that you are able to, not for short, because when people ask you of issues that occurred 2 financial years ago, in this current financial year, it doesn't speak to the remedies that you might already have implemented. So it gives an impression that it's not your attended to those issues. So, and again, it's not up to you to decide. I think just that we make those recommendations and we follow them up. I think in so far, I've made the same recommendations. The same way I'm making them is your good self play that you should attend to. The other issue is that the Department of Science and Technology has always had interest in the session. So you might want to talk to them in their resources to help you out in research. But the reality is that, and we say in all institutions that appear before us, from primary to secondary institutions, applied mathematics has never been recommended. People do a lot of math research, that's why international reports feel tricky. But it doesn't make any work on Zimbabwe and we are making a lot of suggestions on how we can attend to some of the methods that have been raised. But the third one, and I'm sorry to raise it, if there is a challenge of revenue, but the whole event is at 28th generation, something. That money that's been spent for other things, I don't know. Maybe? It's not that much. It's like going to a party when everybody was having up to the job. That is chair, if I may, and it's how I going to set the control on the internet finish. You need to assist to hear this message, so that when you appear the next year, we are able to say, this is what you implemented, and it's working, and it's not what you need. And also, do you set templates?
Job, knowing the vote, and a member of parliament, I'm sure in the UK parliament, U.S. Parliament, the average member of Parliament does not read. Certainly, I don't. No, I do not read the report. I look at her. So the technical issue was around the relationship between the Christians and the consideration of the facts and figures. I make no apology for it. I hope by what I have come to not agree with me, and maybe other members will. Fine. So be it. But as a chair, I'm doing, as I said, it's absolutely correct. That's the sense in which it is taking. And I don't apologize for it. And I will never apologize. Come to you, David. the issue of value for money come government management. Could it be taken on board as to how internally the issue of performance is how do you assess performance of the commissioner, how do you assess performance of the I could say some of them are some of them in the one thing is one single meeting of the committee assigned. So how do you do this performance assessment there? Are we able to lay our hands to put report on how we can perform within the institution? Because as much as we want to think about issues of funding, let's also be realistic about the thing that the DA has committed to this commission.
I think those are my few areas that are
thank you very much. The first point that I think we have, I think probably it was emergency to be effective, because I do understand the importance of your role, and especially going into the institution given all the economic trends that are happening right now. I'm sure it's going to be placing more pressure on you and your relatives are actually going to become more pronounced. That's my view. And therefore, I'm extremely concerned about the issues around the professional team. I know that some people may not necessarily consider this as a major factor, but it is a major factor, especially in this type of project. Notwithstanding the fact that the HE is a Supreme Court institution, but I really do think that we may have to engage with them, because smaller entities are really very affecting with the fees that the institution of our charging, and all of the other people might also have to remember that they should have to contract, subcontract this way to other entities, and they should have the cost. And probably we might have to come to some kind of arrangement to look at the small entities, because it's becoming, your professional fees to me are becoming a bit of a problem, because they are becoming the main drivers of your cost, really. And I think that is quite concerning. And I think it's something that we probably need to consider. Probably engaging with the minister and obviously with the AG as well. Because this is not just an isolated issue. I know that there is a number of small entities are going through the same kind of challenges. The second area that is of concern to me around the research program, that's your call. If your research unit is not up to scratch or is not where you would like it to be, it does define you out of existence. Your relevance is defined out by that very problem. And I'm not sure whether you have engaged, because I thought I if I heard you correctly, Chair, was that you were saying you are also constrained by ESA sometimes with the rate that you are paying some of the skilled personnel that you are looking for there. Because to me, I would rather see FSC having somebody who is an economist in your research unit, you know, because the reality of the situation is that the economic factors are always are going to inform your formula that you finally come up with. And if people are not looking closely into that and analyzing the quality of the recommendations that you make, if your research unit is not as capacitated as those skills that are critical for it, it's going to be a problem. And therefore, I wanted to understand from what is the current occupancy. I can see that your personal cost, the research program accounts for 50%, but what is your current occupancy right now? And maybe if you can just look the profile of the people that you have there, so that you can have a sense and appreciate
The other thing that I also wanted you to know was to check whether the reason why you probably came to that question about the current occupancy of your stage program is your commissioned research. Now, your commissioned research, is it because your commissioned research because maybe they were too specialized or because other factors. I just want to find it out. The other thing that I think is going to be also important, I think that he has raised that, but I wanted you to check whether you have contemplated or considered partnering with other institutions, take your municipal demarcation board as a good example, in undertaking some research together. Because even the MPP has said, probably you need to start consolidating the way of you need to start synergizing and probably working together when you're undertaking major research work. Especially because both of you are being in the same kind of space, obviously more the municipal demarcation board more on the municipal level, whereas we are also looking at provinces and so on. But I think it might be useful, I don't know, I just want to check from you if you are working with them in terms of that. The final point that I have on my side is regarding your how you measure the impact of the equitable share. I know that usually what we do, because in some of the achievements that you are making here, that you presented, you make, they are very general, and one would like to see something that is more quantifiable, something that is more tangible, that you could be reporting on, and that is your measure. I don't know what sort of methodology you use to measure the impact of the equitable share, or you just do that only distribution, because if you are only measuring the distribution and whether or not people have spent or not spent, to me that's not impact. And maybe you might have to assist us with that. And the point that the unit that the researchers have raised about you raising, already coming before the committee and saying, yeah, we are very constrained financially, we don't have sufficient resources, as you understand. And I do think that it could be extended probably because of your human resource capacity issues and all the items that you were talking about and so forth. But I say there might have to be a way of addressing it. And finally, I want to know what is your recommendation that has referred to the funding model that you had proposed previously? Because maybe for the if they could share with us what is their proposed funding model. But I think we need to engage with the national treasury on that. Because to me, FSC is very important, and going forward, we really need a bias on that.
You know, I think I welcome the unqualified auditor, obviously, as they could see, and, it would be very embarrassing to just, but at the same time, I think quality tradition, so you've always got an unqualified auditor, which is quite remarkable, by the sense of the country. So, really, I think we should congratulate them on that. Although they're going to be part of an evaluation process. Secondly, we have in fact assisted, I have raised it with the minister, the conversation, I think I also if I'm correct, in a way, in this conversation, so a variety of people, and as I reported, I don't also make this to the DG in passing. I think in our committee, if I'm correct, when the minister gets for us, I think they said to that one. Now, the sense we get from the ministry, and also that I'm correct, is that there is more complexity than being made up around this issue. So what is it I cannot tell now, I just want to ask you something. I don't understand what you're saying. It's actually the FSC Act that the chair and the CEO are the same person, and that's right. Now this undermines the basic principles of corporate governance. So firstly, can you explain to us why it was done that way? What's the problem with changing it? Secondly, if the majority in this community agrees,
then we should get a guideline, a deadline also. Because my first was genuine, just like it should be as well. And I can't understand for this particular correctly, they have a formulation to the policy, to amend the first letter.
Yeah.
Now, in the meanwhile, while the rule is being amended, I don't think it's going to be a difficult process. If it's purely that, it should be processed daily fast. And we can speak to the committee chair on the NPO as well. But in the meanwhile, what do we do? Maybe you want to offer your own views in that regard. But I think in our report, colleagues, we should mention that either by the 1st of January, one of us has a new financial year, that's just paper or whatever, this matter must be resolved. Parliament expects a reply and will bring the minister and or department before us to explain why it hasn't been done. From this matter, I think you don't need to be concerned. I think the committee as a whole, if I'm correct, although it keeps changing views, but until now, our position has been that, hey, so, you know, when we look at the report finally, we just, you know, look at what we've done in the past and follow up on that and formulate and see what members think about the deadline for change, right? So the second thing I want to say is that my own sense is there's a need for an FFP. But I also know that there is unhappiness within our own conscious in government, in the majority party and so on, about the role of the FFP. About what society's role should be and so on. Now, on the one hand, we've been hearing arguments over the years that the FSC is not taken seriously enough. Either you say it, your key citizens do, and or government officials or civil society actors do, or sell that or whatever. Yet, if you look at your report, it suggests that actually many of the recommendations you've made, that the National Treasury identifies as your goal, they have actually been seized. So I would like to comment on that. The third thing is on gender representation in the FFP. It's really just a matter that we in the committee want to stay on. You are 8 and is that correct? Or 9? Yeah. You're entitled to?
Nine.
So what's the problem? The other person, what the person is resigning will argue on if I'm one short.
That's
the new teacher. Oh, right, I see. Alright, well, yes. So, in any case, I think our committee should, and we should do a draft, maybe I don't know if disagree, actually observe our concerns in this regard. I mean, of 8 men, only one is female. I mean, surely there are women who are appropriately qualified to play the role. So I think that's a matter we should raise also. Then there's the issue of your ICT infrastructure being updated. Now, what's the big deal here? Why is it not possible for you to update your infrastructure, IT infrastructure? I would imagine you more than many other organizations that appear before us need that information. How else do you actually make your recommendation not by having the most modernized, advanced IT infrastructure to deliver the facts and figures and the trends and processes that underpin your final recommendations to all the authorities to make recommendations of the law? Then, there are a whole lot of questions briefly asked, which I hope you'll answer, because there are concrete questions that all have to go into the report. I'm not going to cover them, but it's interesting that the one point I want to raise, the one point is raised, which is that you say you don't have enough money, but you understand. Then if you look at her questions on page 2, her third question, bullet point there, I'd like to suggest that you have addressed it in a general way. But I think what you more or less say to us saying is our report must be concrete and brief. Really what we want is action, and we want people to read the report. It should be more than 5 or 6 pages per instance, you say. So really, although you have responded in general to Bridget, I think you haven't responded in concrete terms to her, and I would really appreciate her reply, because those are questions that also have to be put into our report. The one question, she notes also on page 6, in part, she says that you've overspent on your allocated budget. The Commission should explain the reason for the expenditure and strategy to contain spending on such items, which include the employee costs. And then her operations of the MBO are responsible in general. I also think, I haven't thought about this, but my thought is quite about what is the general fee. I think this is a matter we should raise if members of the majority agree with the minister, but also the AG's office. At an appropriate state. But we should put something into the report. I think she's right. The fees are quite onerous, depending on how large the MCU is, the budget and other rules and so on.
of the administration within the treasury relative to the constitutional function of the ministry. what you have is that over the time without being a commissioner, but I've been operating in this fiscal space for the last since 97, that the SOC has been more engaging with the administrations, the officials. And that's ostensible that that happens, is that the secretariat engages with the administration, but that also translates into other commissions posting. And as a result, there's an issue with that. The other factor that is very important is the whole question of the distinct nature between the secretariat and the commission. And you've raised the issue of the untenable situation that you're finding the CEO and the chair find themselves in. And we also have a problem that to be able to ensure that the people supposed to run the commission are the commission secretariat and operational administration. So there's a need to look at the proportional number of full-time rather than part-time commissions. I remember that Mr. Kumar and Tanya Jam was around, struggles for that. And it's going to go into the future if you don't deal with the diminishing capacity at the commission level, the institutional and constitutional sides of it. I think we're in trouble if you carry on with this particular decision. I think what is also important is that other than the unwielding of the dominance of the administration, is that there's a need for Parliament in particular to be able to, yes, it's a good thing to optimize the resource inabilities and capabilities of other parties. I want to see the AFC, but there's distinctly and different responsibility. And wanting to work together is another thing that you see as sort of for its own constitutional responsibility. So we just need to be cautious with the parliamentary structure relative to a constitutional structure when it comes there. And I'm saying that because I think sometimes when we want to make things happen, and we just might find ourselves to create further complications for the work. Then there's the issue of capacity within universities. It's not totally about the funding model, because the resourcing of the FFC, adequate resourcing of it, certified and independent, certified is autonomy, making sure that we can recruit the right, skilled, competent people to work with the FFC. If we don't have the resources to replace an ICT system, then how much difficult it will be to argue for appointment of warm bodies, of improving the human capacity within the FFC. So there's a need to look at that, and there's also a need to be, I'm raising this because I think it's part of the elephant in the room, that we need to be able to see relative to the other chapter 9 in the East. Well, this is not chapter 9 in the East, but it's a chapter 9 in the East. How do we resource this particular agency to be able to do precisely what you want to do? To give you independent advice from the budget office, from the national treasury, from all the different committees they work with. I think the issue of asking to work with DSD, because of the interest community, is an indicator that she is working with all parties. But in terms of what you're suggesting is an untenable situation, because they arise in a conflict of discretion. Because the SEC also deals with knowledge and innovation and education aspects, so it won't compromise that particular responsibility. The main thing is it's about capacity, whether it's at the commission level, whether it's at the secretariat level, whether it's at the operational level. And I'm suggesting to the Honorable Chairperson and members, there's a need to look at capacitating the SEC. It's not about the mandate. The mandate is very clear. It's not about its operation, that is also very clear. It's about capacity to be able to do the work and to be able to set itself beyond the national mandate, in the 9 provinces, to be able to deal with the neighbors, to deal with the other municipalities, and to be able to bring independent advice and recommendations. So there is a need for a sort of what I will call a brutal issue on the FSC. And there is a need to have a very straight and hard conversation with with the minister conditioners, and Nigerita and with the healthcare administration. But if you look at the changes in race line, it is indicative of the lack of seriousness in the industry. So we're going to build on the time. It's completely municipal changes in the race line. I think that those are critical companies. That's what I thought I used to say separately as a conversation. And I want to say, going forward, probably there's a need for the industry to not be a bleeding heart institution, but to be able to tell you exactly what are the structural and functional impediments to its operation, and be honest about it. Because we see it as commissioners that we're supposed to run sometimes the agenda, the administration around the agenda. We're supposed to be accountable, but we're not overly having a gross of all other things. Because the capacity consideration, and then that's a critical matter that needs to be said.
Thank you, Chair. The SSP, the Chapter 9 Institution, established by the Constitution, they were established on the basis of the wish of any minister who comes in the house. And for them to respond to the question that if you are about their existence, the existence of the institution, they were ready enough to respond to it. Because if you feel that it must not exist, it means you must change the Constitution, the Chapter 9 Institution. And if you look at the National Development Plan, it actually suggests that we need to have institutions that are independent, that oversee the work of government, so that there is fairness in terms of how they did it over time. So basically, there's a. So I was going to ask you that this is a chapter of institution, and therefore it's constitutional mandate that cannot be. Therefore, we have a constitutional responsibility to make sure that the FSC operates to its full capacity. And up until we answer those basic questions, the existence of SSC is neither here nor there. But it's relevant, instilled by the Constitution. But other issues, it are very administrative issues in terms of how you manage resources. And those are the issues that clearly, as new members, who want to bring this over and decide. Given the challenges we have, if there's a race like a language, and the nature of skills we have in a destination, it becomes clear if it occurs. And if it takes the leader to the stage, or the very same reason, we are aware that there's nothing for it.
Okay, the point of all the issues, I think the issue of the county council has covered those two other questions, even the point of all the questions. Thank you, Chair. I think the detail of what they want to say, when they deal with the extent, I will allow the CMO to respond directly in terms of what happened. But I can say from where I sit is that the Commission decided on engaging a service provider to look at the operational model of the Secretariat of the Commission. And I think that decision must have been taken back in 2010. But because there was no money to do that, some of us were to be in charge, basically, were not very much happy just going ahead and getting into that time there. Because the good service provider, when we went out to ask for quotation, we couldn't get somebody that could come at an affordable level, and that we could actually expect to do that. So I said, no, there's no money for that. But when we got to 2012, the discussion in the Commission itself became so heated, it was almost like getting to a level where it was creating tension between management and on the one side and the commissioner on the other side. And so it became an imperative for the Secretariat to actually do something before initially or to demonstrate that there is commitment to implementing the Commission's So what they happened there, a service provider was identified from a database of service providers that the Commission keeps. And that service provider then was requested to come and make a presentation to the Commission in terms of the way that they was actually provided. The Commission was happy with that, and then a decision was taken to at least do a best
Still, the secretary must provide that buffer
chapter 10, or 18, or so. Now, to have you want to add anything on this letter,
I think it's partly hard to answer Richard's question also to add. This relates to one issue, product economic issue. First, the commitment was done in the previous financial year, but the expenditure of cash sums in the following financial year. And one of the reasons for that is precisely what I think just said. We took all of the financial concerns that we had at that point in time. This was the only service provider, not the cost that we had, so that can be able to do this on phases. And then apply that, okay, it's done on phase 1, 2, and 3, and then for that particular financial year, this is what going to cost us. And then the length that we put, follow all the procedure, but the length that we look at the total cost of the whole, of all the phases, how much is it going to cost. And if it was that amount, one of the things that the responsible is to write the official president and say that this has gone in front of this. And then that was the issue with Auditor General. They look at the process and procedure. No, you follow all the processes and never procedure with regard. The only issue that we have is when you don't look at it in totality. And I think the issue there was also around the agents of this matter that the commissioner has. I think the issue was around some of the concerns that have been raised by other demands to look at the delivery model of the FSC, whether some of the commissions that we continue doing the commission research or we should capacitate the FSC in terms of the government. The model was to look at that issue. Which commissioner figures in the Senate is what they could see that there's no money that is coming in, but there's something that needs to be done by the commission. And what is it that can be done? The issue was to make sure that whilst we are still looking for other resources, working with a small structure, but some of the research can be commissioned out. That was the whole idea. But in terms of accepting this, we ensure that we have developed a system within our procurement system. Once we know that we are in particular around there, one of the things is that, okay, we tried with the new commission particular in terms of making sure that the framework that we have developed, even if it comes with a call, but in terms of the contract, there is a procedure that we have following in terms of that. And then one of the things that we have also put in place, an election plan register that the honorable member has already mentioned, as part of the management plan to address and to avoid the recurrence of this, we put an election plan register that we have put together. This is the internal auditor, because one of the questions that was asked by the commission was that the internal auditor, we are paying them to do certain functions, but they don't, what we should have seen some of these, not only the responsible people, but you've got an assistance of the internal auditor to look at the controls. But it's one of the things that we are doing now, interlink whatever that we do with the internal auditor. And also, what we do on a quarterly basis, we are engaging the auditor generally on some of these issues, so that we don't wait for the end of the financial year to ensure that these issues are addressed. It's one of the tools that we put in place. And also all other issues like the absolute of assets and so on, because those are some of the things that are there. So then the assets, the delivery model of the commission.
Yes. It's just what also kind of going through the FSC. It's just to give you the reassurance that we have looked at the issue from a control perspective and the current perspective, and we set it time to revise controls that have been put in place. Just to note as well, the FSC control agreement, the total procurement is less than 5 million, and that's mainly production, because the internal production is the light. This is the first time that we procure to this value, and because of the phase where, there was an oversight in this situation. So we satisfied with the issue. We don't believe it was a loss of value in terms of the fact that the actual rate of prescribed in terms of industrial, so it wasn't a loss of value. So I think from that perspective, we are happy to condone the expenditure. And we believe going forward, as I've indicated, sufficient to go find the proposed cut.
Sorry? Sure. The question as it is there is not whether there was value for money or not, or whether there was
intention to do a wrong thing. You see, when there's a deviation, you contact. And in this case, it was not. And that is called deviation. In simple sense, you don't have to go this way and that way. If there's a deviation, there's no way that you can implement without getting approval. We know that. We've worked this issue. So in this context, it was not. And check, I guess, for indulging. There is no committee of the CSO that must take such a decision to deviate without the consultation of the people, including the representation to the body itself. Because at the end of the day, everybody takes the responsibility of an individual decision taken on deviation. It doesn't even matter the amount, whether it's a minute amount. The very same decision of deviation, it's clear in the general rule. That's my concern. And there is no approval. And in this context, you know, we have dealt with this matter when I was in Scopa, where managers, CEO, we have only implemented phases to try to address the responsibility of getting approval of a value they know they will not get. So it's not a new mess altogether. It is that I should deal with it. I was in Scopa. So, such an act, it puts the commission in a very bad way. Especially if you are a commission, because it's different altogether. Because this, the person who did the deviation, it's not even consulting. And it was not a minute amount. It was a huge amount which you dealt with for the first time for that week. And it was not quite according. In fact, it was even on the fact that someone could have gone home. So I don't want to make a big issue of it. We definitely understand it. Because we know how it went. And it was indeed a very good expenditure. And you are tightening your system. Can I ask the question whether do you use that? You got in that, you use that tool, but it will help for you as a CEO by the of that to see all what the land managers are doing with, if they are waiting to report to you, be able to see what they are, all the kinds of things that they are going through. And it would be nice that if you try and use the coaching to do it.
Thank you
very much.
Okay,
any
response?
Yes, thank you, Honorable, for the comment. And I really must appreciate concern that you express in the way you put it very eloquently. It is a more serious concern when such types of events or eventualities occur within the finance family that we operate in, because we must actually be in a position to set an example to the rest of we must live, in fact, because these are policies that we describe. So when we actually don't do that, then that is why the commission actually took a very serious view to it, and the disciplinary measures that were taken against the CFO and the other two officials that were part of the process, that were supposed to be part of the process, were accepted by the commission as a sufficient for first time offenders. Going forward, we have actually indicated that this is how the kind of area I actually from where I think there is absolutely no room for failure in procurement and supply chain management. Now, moving forward to the next issue that's been raised, I'm just going to try and come and link some of the questions that were raised because they are actually related. Now, the issue of CETA, I must say that I do welcome suggestions around this thing, around CETA. But CETA, we come from there, and we just could not get joined because they have their own challenges. So much as one appreciates that they are set up to actually assist in those areas, and unfortunately they could not actually assist us. Now, there are issues that were raised by Honorable there are issues that she raised that relate to the classification around the achievement or these measures that we release as achievement. I think maybe it's a question of interpretation. Because when I say we police Parliament on this particular matter, and let's say that Parliament achieves anything or government achieves anything, in terms of we provided a report that was released. that's a part of which we're above the what we are told, what we from our perspective was the or the potential for some of the MTGs to not be met. And we've seen a revision of the date for those particular MTGs that were dedicated, I think it was back in 2008, when we raised a particular matter. But when we had the conversation, there was not really that much of a discussion on those particular matters. So they then came back, because now it became very clear that some of those MTGs in South Africa and a couple of other countries indeed were not going to be able to meet them. So they've now been revised and the date has been postponed. I mean, we could have had the conversation back in 2008 when we first made those recommendations. But I say that to try and also emphasize one point that when I say that the capacity at the FFC is not, I'm saying it's not at the level in which one would like it to be. But I certainly am very proud of the people that we actually have in our business team and the work that they do. Because I can proudly say that the number of publications from their own capacity as researchers, you can only judge them by the number of publications in peer-reviewed journals or in books and all of them. You can only judge them like that, their capacity as researchers. But more importantly for us as commissioners, the information that they actually provide us for us to be able to make the recommendations that we make, I am absolutely not we have one of the best research units in the country. We are able to attract collaboration with some of our best research institutions. So we leverage on capacity, not necessarily to say in order to get money from them, on capacity to actually leverage institutions like which are established specifically as research institutions like the SIR, your human science research council. So we leverage part of our machinery around those. At the same time, we're able to collaborate with other Chapter 9 institutions on matters that are actually important for government to make decisions today. So that's how we emphasize the team that we have. Obviously, when we say that we need more capacity, we are saying, can we, in this kind of test, because now we've got the budget, the parliamentary budget office, of which members don't mind, I can tell you that I've been an integral part of the process for capacitating the staffing that you try and get the best people that you can get to put into that parliamentary budget office. And I must say I'm actually quite proud and impressed to be sitting here with the same people that I was sitting and interviewing, and they have actually gone into the story and actually presented something that can have the conversation. Thank you very much. So, but what we're looking at, Chair, is we're not saying that we are useless, we are bad, we don't have capacity. We're saying we would like to do better, but the skills are very limited. And that is why, you know, when it comes to the gender balance issues, we are having those types of challenges in terms of being able to maintain the type of stuff that you want. Because you can create, and I'm not saying that in terms of my of the profile, you're already qualified in our research staff in the master's degree. Of course, now, because we do also provide opportunities for PhDs now, of course, three PhDs that are working there. Two of them are also like very highly recognized economists globally. That's supervised PhDs in a number of these universities. For one day, he was actually in the second year now on her PhD as well. So we do have qualified and really useful staff members. But the laws, because of the demand for the output from the commission, the laws does sometimes get quite heavy, and one would like to get them that to be lowered a little bit. But we are, with what we have, we are very confident that we are generating very serious value for the money that we actually get from the fiscal. I have no doubt in that respect.
issue of the 20 years and the letter, I think people tend to use the wrong words. That was in International Intergovernmental Celebrations Conference, which was aimed at reviewing the role of the National Electoral Commission over the past 20 years and its contribution and the future, therefore. And then on the other hand, also looking at the challenges that the South African system from its establishment back in 1993, if one would like to put it that way, all the way to where we are at now, what have been the challenges, what lessons has South Africa given for African countries that are in the process of, because we know that the threat that everybody is going for is a decentralized system. And I must say that from our side, we have been hosting quite a number of delegations in the form of either commissioners from these countries that are decentralized, or members of parliament, or members of senate from all over Africa and parts of Southeast Asia, where these processes are emerging. And we felt that instead of having a party, let's actually have a conference to change it.
Your invitation to come out today, I think all members were invited to come up to the air.
Yeah.
And you're going to come up with a publication.
Yes.
And we would like to come and present you at the final day. How do you cover that issue?
Yeah. Then the next issue, I think, yeah, and this is a question here that the president proposes, that the commission has indicated the funding is one of the challenges experienced in the 2013-14 financial year. This constraint is affected by what is the level of underfunding currently experienced by the commission, and how does this impact on the commission's ability to get out its money? That's a very specific question that I will ask the CFO to respond, but he will respond when I'm happy to try to deal with this. So I was talking about this achievement, and I think it answers the question. I mean, the some things that we participate in, we sometimes get invited. I mean, in the local corporate governance sphere, when the Minister Kaloi was Minister, there was a couple of things that were happening. There was a review of the Municipal System Act, one of the issues that was there was a review of the Municipal System. And the minister then required the commission to be part or constitute part and parcel of the technical team that was reviewing some of the issues that were coming out from the stakeholders around the system, and also some of the regulations that needed to follow that. So what we are reporting there is that we did get this question, we did participate, and I think we did participate quite effectively in that process. Our relationship with the Municipal Demarcation Board is also along the lines of the relationships that we have with the Public Service Commission, with the Human Sciences Research Council, Human Rights Commission. We have this, so we did work together with the Municipal Demarcation Board on this latest round of demarcations. And we have made certain recommendations which are very precise, which are actually now being acted on and will be implemented in the coming financial year around the demarcations that become effective in 2016. So they are very direct and linkages to what we do, and we report those as what we consider to have been our issues. In fact, the Commission never used to do this thing. This is something that has been happening over the past 3 to 5 years that we basically try to say, and it's shifted into the letter. When people say the role of the Commission is a position. For me, I think the role of the but this is written in the Constitution. It's also about the output that the Financial Electoral Commission produces for Parliament and how useful that output is going to be. So if you're not responsive to stakeholders, you might have that say, okay, so you are there, people will see that today, but something else. So what we have tried to do over the past 5 years after we finished the stakeholder presentation study, and I must say that probably at some point, the ones that down kind of primary lack of motivation within the commission, which was also you could see with the number of staff that was actually resigning in a particular period. But definitely over the past 5 years we have tried to get that people are staying a little bit longer than they used to, because the way we met were more exciting in general, because they can identify what they are actually doing. Hollywood. I don't think that's really fair. I think what we come up with is that it's not that fair. What's the next question? Now, the issue of the underspent allocated budget against the level of resources. I think the underspending was about 619,000. And I have indicated that we went on a very serious history of terrorist issue because we had legacy deficits that we were dealing with. And much as the CFO will come back to the story around the preparation for the conference that they did do that, because we did get an adjustment of 800,000. So what the preparation for the conference. And so I wouldn't read too much into that. The hotel is obviously that we realized because of the austerity measures that we took, because we saw that National Treasury was committed to assist us in dealing with our deficit. And we also tightened our own jails. I mean, we gave up office space that we felt that we didn't need. We basically cut down on our office space, we changed the arrangement, and that cut down on our rental. Now, part of the discussion, again, comes back to the issue of the Auditor General and the court, what is court. Part of the discussion that we are now beginning to have is how best we can actually reduce the issues that the Auditor General has been bringing. Because if you continue to get a lot of issues that arise in your audit, then all the things you attract the attention around the scope of your audit, what is going to happen. Also, if you continue to have those types of issues, it means that the internal audit function cannot be relied upon by the auditor, because the time that they spend, if they're using the internal audit report as a benchmark, and then they just do like some cross-check around that, they spend less time. So you do have those challenges. But more important with the auditor general's cost is also the people that conduct the actual audit with you, because some of them you have to be taking them through the process. They don't understand anything about what the public sector works and the institution. So it's always a time that you spend trying to explain some of these things there. So it's a lot of these things that we have been engaging with, also with the Auditor General. There's not those discussions that are actually taking place. But certainly, I think the audit costs have, if we hadn't engaged with the Auditor General in the last 3 years, then probably would have been much higher than we have here. So there is a willingness on either side to actually present it to, especially the smaller budget institutions. I mean, we've got a budget of less than 40 million. Now, if you want to pay 2.5 or 3 million in budget fees, then it's actually quite a lot. Hello. There seems to be an imbalance. I think the issue of the performance of other divisions, it's explained partly in their performance. I mean, the finance division in particular, that's for the one that you raised. It's explained really by these professional teams. The auditor general costs and the internal audits and the internal audit costs that actually drive the cost in this finance team. You have now the general concern that you have the
So you want to say something to me?
No, not at all.
All right. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, back to you.
I think the last set of issues that I don't know if this is where I need to respond to that, I've already responded to that. So let me just ask the Commissioner.
Thanks a lot. I want to just come back to the previous question.
exactly right. Please look at the general financial position on page 71, and also look at our income statements at page 72. You will see that you are quite valid. There was very little surplus last year, that we got 1.4 million. But I hope that that was a chance in saying that we have to deal with the accumulated deficit issue that we have to reduce. If you look at the level that is reduced from 1.5 million in the previous year, 2018, to 181,000, it's quite a very another issue that we're dealing with to reduce that surplus. And because that we get quite additional money, we'll see the revenue that we get, but we have to cut certain costs and that we have to deal with so that to ensure that there is enough money. Then going forward, how this money is when we are going to use on other areas of the service. I wanted that to raise that.
Right. Any final comments?
Yes.
Well, the agents would make it by themselves, but also
poverty community as well. You know, it's really unfair dynamic thing, but I think what you're saying makes reasonable sense at this stage. And we should put that in some form or another in the report so the members can apply their mind operation. And then we will also look at the formulation of the problem. The other thing to say is that you said that the kind of small report that's not called actually refers to the issue of the conflict between the CEO. I say that. Okay. So you need to look at that. Maybe can you just draw out what the 2009 report says and see whether you think the conflict might be in the members will tell you to me to buy, whether that's relevant at all to taking this matter forward. But it seems to me it's a good private data and nothing to be done about a tricky matter like this, which suggests the point that we can't wait forever. Then the other thing to mention is this committee has, in different forms, as I understand it, unless it's a change of view now, argued that, you know, our oversight role doesn't just comprise in our members are listening because I need some consensus around it. I raised it again last night at a meeting, which I raised with appropriate people who are here. And this mentioned, by the way, the members who are here, five out of the 6 ANC members are here. The one member who is not here has been put off by the doctor. The two DA members, I'm told, presumably aren't here because they're preparing for the MPPPA, saying they consult with the party structure. And the ES appointee is also challenged because it has got a small number of people. So actually, you know, it must have been that, I don't know if you know, but the committee members have been reduced in numbers, I think 506 of the ANC are here. So, I think it's clear that oversight from Parliament doesn't simply mean critiquing society in their data. It also means offering where we can, with our limited capacity and other constraints, alternatives. But also, we commit ourselves in our reports to doing certain things. It seems to me quite reasonable that you should also ask us, when we came last time, you said the following thing to us, what has the committee done since then? Ultimately, I'm accountable for the decisions that appear in the report. I report back to the committee. So, I think you should also engage with us in a more robust way. I think all of you should. You're not just here living on this spot. So, Richard, when you actually write this report, they read on this, and this is going to also change their mind. But you're not going to start asking me and anything to read. We did a bunch of reports. In that report, we said certain things. As far as the SMP is concerned, we made commitments. Just follow up on what's being done since then. So the reason, when you write your report, it's an incremental report. What we expect our entities last week, I need to alert you to this work. We're not going to come back and ask the same old questions again. So that we keep asking the same questions. All the questions we asked have been there since 1995. No. We are going to pick up from where we left off. So that it's like building blocks are moving forward rather than in a federal way. So the researchers will also help us. And what we will do next year is send you the piece of our report, annual report, content beforehand. So that when you come also, you will just come along with already in the report, but take this very forward. And what we will seek to do is just ensure that they get your monthly approved by your report beforehand. So when they make their submission, they will overview of the annual report. But they also respond to the question that because we don't have a situation where, you know, what we're doing is regurgitating stuff. We have to move forward. I am actually seeking to raise the specific question that we need to find new ways of oversight here. You know, we need a discussion more in our committee around it, and I'll need to do so sometime through the year, and I think sort of a slot on taking oversight, something like making oversight more effective and more productive. So we should have a session, maybe for an hour or so, and one of the mandated hours it is to the House Chair. I do think we raise these things in different structures, not in part time. You know, Parliament also needs to be more like 21 years later now, to cover the ground in different ways. So we are looking you to the fact that we really like it to be more robust mandated here, but in different ways, with clear outcomes that bind not just you, but Parliament also, the commitments you made. Now, Bridget, when you put recommendations also, they go from the discussion again. But I think Bridget also will look at your draft and the changes, but we'll be realistic about what we can do. So there's so many entities, and once we commit take into account the time adequately. So we thank you very much. We wish you well, and we are alert you to the fact that members are not here simply because they can't be, but we think you're very pleased. We think you're doing good work overall, but you can certainly do better. And in fact, many of the comments made are offered in that service. So thank you very much.
Over to you, as you can know.